This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. You know, Rick believes the Lord is using this global pandemic to call us to a deeper love for God and our fellow man. That's why he's bringing us the fourth installment of his series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. In a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's DVD study kit called Daring Faith. This powerful tool will inspire you to new heights in your walk of faith with God. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That Handles Wealth Wisely.
You know, for months now, we've been studying principles for living through a pandemic, and we've been looking at the little book of James, a small book of only five chapters in the Bible. It was written by the half-brother of Jesus. Yeah, James was the half-brother of Jesus. I've told you before that James was a skeptic, that he didn't believe his half-brother was the Son of God until after Jesus resurrected himself from death after dying on the cross. And James then became a committed believer, and he became the leader of the first church in Jerusalem. Little aside, he prayed so much that he got little knobs on his knees from kneeling, and they called him James the Camel Knees because he prayed so much. But he wrote this little book to give practical advice to Christian believers who were under intense stress. Remember, they were being persecuted severely by the Roman Empire and by others, and so they scattered out. They had to all leave Jerusalem, and they were unable to meet publicly for worship. Does that sound familiar? They were unable to meet publicly for worship because of the circumstances. Now, we've already covered 25 different studies from this little book of James in a wide variety of topics. And now we're in the last chapter of the book, chapter 5. And one of the things that James talks about is handling money during a crisis. Now, last week, we looked at part one of a faith that doesn't need to hoard money because we trust God for our future. We're not hoarders because we trust God for our future, and we don't even trust our savings account. We do save, but we don't put our trust in a savings account. But in James chapter 5, James gives three warnings to people who are wealthy. We looked at the first warning last week, but we're going to cover the other two in this message today. But here's what I want to do with these three warnings about wealth. I want to flip it. And I want to point out the three positive things that God does want you to do with your money. So we'll look at the negative and the positive together. You know, as your pastor, I'm praying for your financial security. I'm praying for your financial security during these days of economic insecurity. It's my job as a pastor to pray for you who are part of our church family. And I realize that many of you right now are out of work. Okay, you're out of work, and this is putting great stress on your life and on your family. There are literally hundreds of millions of people out of work right now all around the world, and millions, tens of millions of businesses closed down. And I care about you, I care about your family, and I care about your economic security. And I'm asking God to keep his promises that are in his book, keep those promises in your life as you trust him and as you do what he tells you to do. Now, the safest place to be in a crisis is right in the center of God's will. You can't be any safer than to be right in the center of God's will. And when you give your life completely to the control of Christ, he just assumes all the responsibility for every area of your life, including your financial welfare. But God has told us to do certain things with our money, and he's told us certain things to not do with our money. So I'm calling this message, it's part two of what we started last week, a faith that handles wealth wisely. A faith that handles wealth wisely. Now I want to begin by reading the text where James gives us these three warnings about money and about wealth in James chapter 4, verse 17, and then all the way down to verse 8 of chapter 5. He says this, Remember that when you know the good thing you ought to do, but you don't do it, then you sin. So then, you who are rich, he says, you have hoarded and piled up wealth in these last days. We talked about that last week. And he says, and the fair wages that you failed to pay your employees are now crying out against you. And those cries have reached the ears of the Lord God Almighty. He says, you've lived on earth thinking only of yourself and your luxuries, indulging every whim and every pleasure you have. But he says, like a cow fattened to be killed, you just fatten yourselves up. And you've lived in ways that cause innocent people to be condemned and die. And remember, the Lord is coming back. Now, that's a pretty strong passage and pretty full of warnings. I don't know if you immediately caught the three warnings about money that James gives us in that passage. But as I said, I want to flip it today. And instead of just talking about the three things that we shouldn't do, I also want to point out that we should do the exact opposite of those three things. Three things that God wants you to do with whatever money, whatever wealth God happens to give you at this particular time in your life. So let's look together in James chapter 5 at both the negative and the positive of how to make money, how to save money, and how to use money. How to make, save, and use your wealth wisely. Now, God gives us instructions for accumulating wealth. It's all through Scripture. He gives us instructions for acquiring wealth. It's all through Scripture. And he gives us instructions for allocating or using wealth. Let's look at those three again today. First, he says, in accumulating wealth, you know, piling it up, he says, don't hoard it foolishly. Now, I don't have to say much about this because we spent an entire session on it together last time. But let's just review that verse. Verse 3, he says, you've hoarded and piled up wealth in these last days. Now, remember I said last week that the Bible says money is a tool. Money is not good or bad. It's just a tool. And it's what you do with it. Money is a tool to be used, not a thing to be piled up. In other words, God doesn't want you piling it all up. He wants his money in circulation. Now, you remember in our previous session, we looked at Jesus' story of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. And Jesus tells this story about a successful farmer. Remember, the guy had more than he could handle. He was so successful, he didn't know what to do with all of his wealth. And instead of using it wisely, what did he do? He just stockpiles it. And he says to himself, I don't know what I'm going to do with all that I've got. I know what I'll do. I'll build myself bigger barns. And God says, you fool, tonight you're going to die, and somebody else is going to get all that you worked so hard for. He just says, Jesus is saying, don't store it up. Don't stockpile it. We already talked about that. By the way, that reminds me of a story I heard in Texas where I went to seminary and about a successful farmer who said, you know, money is kind of like fertilizer. If you spread it around, it's useful and it makes things grow. But if you just pile it up in one heap, it just starts stinking. So just remember, money's like fertilizer. It's best if you spread it around, make things grow. You know, make it useful. Don't just pile it up. Then it's just going to stink. Now, God says, instead of hoarding money foolishly or wealth foolishly, he says, save it wisely. Proverbs 21:20, the wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Now, that's the first thing. Don't hoard it foolishly, but save it wisely. Here's the second thing James tells us to do, and this is what I want us to get into. In accumulating wealth, in other words, how you make it, he says this. He says, in acquiring wealth, don't make it dishonestly. In acquiring wealth, don't make it dishonestly. In accumulating, he said, don't pile it up. But in acquiring it, he says, don't make it dishonestly. Now, of course, there are plenty of ways to make money dishonestly. We all probably know a few. I don't need to go into that. But James points out a common mistake, and it's one that we may not think is being unfair, but it's not paying your employees a fair wage. Yeah, God has something to say about that in the Bible. He says that's dishonest. And this is the second warning that James gives us. So don't be dishonest with your money. And one of the ways to be dishonest is to not pay your people that work for you enough money. James 5:4, he says, the fair wages that you have failed to pay your employees are now crying out against you. And those cries have reached the ears of the Lord God Almighty. Now, I tell you what, that's a scary verse for any business owner. Okay? It says that when your employees complain that they're being treated unfairly, that they're not being treated fairly, that God hears those complaints. Did you know that? You might want to consider that verse, James 5:5, the next time you start planning your personnel budget. Now, I don't know, honestly, who this applies to that's listening today. I don't know if there's some business owner that is cheating his employees or her employees, but I know it applies to somebody because it's in the Bible. But here's the larger principle, Proverbs 10, verse 2. Wealth you get by dishonesty will do you no good, but honesty will save your life. Wealth you get from dishonesty will do you no good, but honesty will save your life. So he says first, he says, you know, don't hoard it foolishly, but he says, save it wisely. And now he says, don't acquire it. Don't make it dishonestly. Don't make it dishonestly. Instead, treat others fairly. Would you write that down? Treat others fairly in the way you use your money. Proverbs 16, verse 11 says this. Look here on the screen. The Lord demands fairness in every business deal. Whoa. He sets the standard. The Lord demands fairness in every business deal. He sets standard. If you want God's blessing on your work, you got to be fair with your employees and with everybody else. Now, if you're secretly gleeful about how you always get the better deal in a negotiation with people, and maybe somebody you were negotiating with, they didn't get the true value of what they deserved, and you're happy about it, you go, you won't believe what I got that for. God says he's not happy about that. How do you expect him to bless your business if you're not fair with the people he created? Okay? So the second principle of wealth is you make it honestly, and that means you don't hurt people. You don't hurt people in the way you make your wealth. Yeah, you can underpay people and your profits go up. I want to teach you a little acrostic, and I have taught this to business leaders literally all around the world. I don't think I've ever taught it in America, but I'm going to teach you a little acrostic I made of the four marks of a truly successful business. Okay? It's the four marks of a legitimate, truly successful business. And I use the word cows, C-O-W-S, because no matter where I go, everybody understands cows. If I'm in a village in Asia or in Africa or in the Middle East, everybody knows cows, C-O-W-S. So I use these four marks because there's cows everywhere. Write these down. Here are the four marks of a truly successful business. If you're going to be a small business owner or a big business owner, you got to have cows, C-O-W-S. Number one, first, for a successful business to be successful, C, the customer must benefit. The customer must benefit. You have to have a legitimate product or a legitimate service. If you don't have any customers, you don't have a business. So it always starts with the customer. Are they getting value from what you provide, either as a benefit or as a service or as a product? Customers must benefit. Number two, for successful business, owner must benefit. The owners must benefit. If you don't make a profit, you're not a business, okay? You go out of business. There's nothing dirty, nothing wrong with making a profit. It's how things get done. You can either make a profit or you can beg. So there's nothing wrong with an owner making a profit. First, the customer must benefit, and second, the owners must benefit. The third, and this is the one that we get right usually in more developed countries, but not always in undeveloped countries. The third is the W is workers must benefit. I have been in places all around the world where the customer benefits and the owner benefits and all the employees are stuck in sweatshops. They're not benefiting at all. they're being paid pittances, while the customer benefits from those clothes that are being made, and the owner benefits from the profit, but the workers aren't. And, you know, here in America and in other developed countries, they've learned to give pension plans and learned to give health benefits and learned to give profit sharing and learned to give how things the workers must benefit too. If you're going to have a successful business, the customer must benefit, the owner must benefit, the worker must benefit, and then S, society must benefit. Society must benefit. At some point, your business has to start giving back to your community. I'm going to help our church. I'm going to help our hospital. I'm going to help our schools. I'm going to help the local library. That's the four marks of a great business.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith Study Kit, and it includes a DVD and it includes a workbook. Now, there's six sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these six things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith Study Kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit, a six-session DVD and workbook, as our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.